Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Get it!
Dean Special Report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ends at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Huh. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to ENN, which is brought to you today by our fine friends at All American Ford. Don't forget, you could shop for a brand new car right now from the comfort of your own home with All American Ford. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Go watch porn on your computer. Stop it.
We'll also say good evening to Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Now, Ballard just hit me up with a suggestion.
Ballard!
And we can't do it today, he got this suggestion, Don, from a retweet that I had posted of your brother.
Right, I saw this.
Who was breaking down the top TV theme songs of all time. And this is a regular conversation for me. I talk TV themes quite a bit. Don, I think it would make a tremendous list for the show. I just want to say
one thing that's been ignored by Michael, because he's just committed to just sandbagging this whole thing, is that I've kept all 8 of my top five lists to sports. I have not ventured into the realm that Michael is really going to have his head blow off. And I would think top 5 TV movie themes would be
TV themes
would be tremendous.
No, you think Michael would freak out
with Friends?
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No,
Friends isn't top 5.
Now let me ask you this though. This is where you got to get. Was that song already? Was that written for Friends, or did they take that?
They took
it. It was written specifically for Friends from the Rembrandts.
Wouldn't be on my top 100.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
Well, MASH would be your number one because you want to be Alan Alda.
Well, and MASH is also a great theme. Terrific.
My idol.
One of your idols.
Well, it's not Alan Alda.
Suicide is Painless is the name of the song. Tremendous.
Which, by the way, it's hilarious that it's called Suicide is Painless, because even though MASH is obviously an incredibly funny TV show, when you grew up the way I did, with MASH being something you don't understand, it's just a show that's in syndication, you know, after Three's Company and Too Close for Comfort, that music was always so depressing. And when you find out the name of the song, you realize it's more depressing than you even realize.
It might actually be disqualified because it was the movie's theme.
Right.
So it might actually make the list because of that.
Peter, whatever happened to Deborah Van Valkenburg?
Is she the attractive woman vehicle from MASH?
No. She was the dark-haired daughter from Too Close for Comfort.
You know the name of that person.
Well, obviously. Michael did a lot of growing up there in that show.
Apparently so.
Now that was the Jim J. Bullock vehicle, right?
Correct. I would call it a Ted Knight vehicle, but you could go Jim J. Bullock.
And he did for
a
time.
Jim,
I believe,
with no eye.
Right, for a time. If you look at IMDb, the eye has been put back, but there was a time where it was just J.
Is he still with us?
Jim J. Bullock?
I'll check that out for you.
But I'll tell you what, your brother. It's like I don't know how your brother knew this about me. Your brother added me specifically.
I saw that.
To ask for my feedback on Perfect Strangers. And it's literally, I don't know if he's heard me discuss it maybe randomly on the morning show. He must have. I am obsessed with the Perfect Strangers theme song. Couldn't agree with it more. Any list without Perfect Strangers is invalid. Any list without Growing Pains, invalid. But then, of course,
Might be better than the show.
Very much alive.
Jim J is very much alive?
Yeah.
Very much alive.
He was close to my birthday, February 9th, and Michael's too. Probably a better song than show. And Last American Hero, that song, better than the show.
Absolutely. I don't even know the show. I have no idea what Last American Hero is except for the song.
And the Seinfeld episode.
And the Seinfeld episode is a big part of it. I really, really feel strongly, though. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe Don will make it a list at some point. But, yeah, I feel very strongly about Growing Pains, very strongly about Perfect Strangers, very strongly about Taxi, yeah. Which is just iconic. And then how do you leave out the Jeffersons?
You can't. There's a All five
in the Family.
I don't think you can leave out the Jeffersons. I mean, I think that's probably number – that could
and
be number
times.
One. Good times is damn strong. Anyways, so guys, this is not a good time. This is actually incredibly sad. This is the first thing I saw today, and it really sent me into a sad place. And it's a message from Carl Anthony Towns, who revealed that his mom is in a medically induced coma because of coronavirus. Let's hear from Kat.
The severity of this disease is real. This disease needs to not be taken lightly. Please protect your families, your loved ones, friends, yourself. Practice social distancing. Please don't be in places with a lot of people. Just how is your chances of getting this disease? And this disease is not. It's deadly. It's deadly.
So sad, though. He told the story of how his mom and dad both tested for it, and his mom seemed to be doing better, and then before he knew it, all of a sudden she was in a medically induced coma. He hasn't spoken to her, obviously, for days. He's in contact with her doctors. You know, Kat's a local guy. His family's all northern Jersey. I think Piscataway. But if you just watch it, he posted on Twitter. It's a five-minute message. It's incredibly heartfelt and personal, and obviously we send the best out to his family. But we've heard about it, you know, with NBA players. But, guys, I think it gives it a different wrinkle when you see someone who's obviously very well-to-do and is still going through something this scary.
Yeah,
money's not going to buy you out of this.
No.
Might get you better care, but if the virus takes hold, and this just came over, too, and this will resonate with Nancy. Susan Slusser, who writes for a paper in San Francisco, said Giants broadcaster John Miller and his wife have both undergo a test for coronavirus. Their son and fiance are both sick.
Wow. And obviously he's, you know, in his late 60s, early 70s. I think he's 69, if I'm not mistaken. So, But still, you know, you hear these stories, too. Obviously, people that are compromised, people that are older are susceptible. But we're seeing a lot of young people, too. I saw a story of a young player. I think he was local, like 24 years old, that he's not doing well because they lost his test. And they said that and he couldn't find out that he was positive until like 5 days later than he should have. And they thought that there could have been some experimental drugs they could use. And now he's on a ventilator and, you know, we'll see if he can get out. But he was an athlete, lacrosse player. 24 years old. So I think it's just coming down to, you know, how bad you get it. And if you are younger, yeah, you've got a better chance to fight it off and to survive, but it doesn't mean that you can't be in real trouble and critical with this. Michael, the name doesn't escapes me, but I think a couple of days ago there was a scout for St. John's, a 49 years old, that passed away as well, that didn't have any compromised conditions that they know of. So I think these people just need to just be careful. And we're seeing some stats where the social distancing and the isolation is working in New York. It's very early. It's very preliminary. But in the couple of weeks that we've been doing this, or the 10 days we've been doing this, we have seen that the projections are been lowered because of it in some way. So just keep doing it. I know it's frustrating because we don't know how long we're going to have to do it, but we're starting to see that it's beginning to work and the effects have been positive. So let's keep going.
Yeah, and the article I read on CNN about New Rochelle today was very promising. Now, in New Rochelle, they did really – they did smart and aggressive stuff, but it wasn't a complete shutdown. They sort of – they went and mapped out everything and kind of roped off basically a certain part of New Rochelle and said inside this area no one's allowed to have get-togethers. And it has really been beaten down completely in New Rochelle. So there is hope. By the way, back to the theme songs, if we get to this at some point, Ballard felt very strongly about the following, Don. Miami Vice, The Odd Couple,
yeah,
Night Court, and Knight Rider.
How about The Sopranos?
Like You know what? It's a good one. Now, was that written for The Sopranos, or was that a single already?
I don't think it was.
But listen, it's iconic, right? The second you hear it. I mean, the fact is that the second you hear it, you know exactly where it's from. That, I think, is a big checkpoint for it to be iconic.
It's such a crazy song, too. Think about how little's going on here, and yet how much is going on.
Miss that show. I'm gonna miss Curb too. What the heck? You know, it was 10 weeks. How many shows did they have on Curb?
Yeah, 10.
That was a quick 10 weeks. Hope the next 10 weeks go as quick as those 10 weeks did.
That's a great point.
That's another one.
Now that was not written for the show.
No, but it's iconic.
Yep.
And it connotes so much.
Love it.
Mark Cuban went on WFAA, a TV station in Dallas, and gave his hopes and expectations for an NBA return.
I'm proud of Adam Silver. I'm proud of the NBA and the way we've reacted. I think we've led the way, and hopefully we'll lead the way out of this. I mean, you know, no one has perfect information right now, and so all decisions are tough. But, you know, if I had to guess based off the people I've talked to at the CDC and other places, I would say that, you know, the over-under would be June 1st, and I'm taking the under, that hopefully by middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal, and the NBA is playing games, maybe not with fans, but we're playing games, because sports play such an important role. You know, people want something to cheer for. People want something to rally around. People want something to be excited about. And if the Mavs and the NBA in general can get out there and start playing games in May so that they're on TV, I mean, sports is what we need right now, and I think sports will, you know, I think we're coming together as a community, particularly in North Texas, but I think we need it, and I think the NBA is ready to play that role.
I like Mark Cuban. I don't think there's any way, middle of May, any way. I just don't see it.
Well, here's what I'm holding on to, and I haven't seen anything different. I don't think the CDC has updated it, but if you go back to last weekend, over a week ago, where they had recommended 8 weeks. And I know that these sports are kind of basing it off of that. Okay, the CDC, which is obviously very trusted, says 8 weeks. That takes us to like May 10th from when they made the announcement, and then you can kind of go from there. I think our best hope, Michael, you know, you're hearing Rutgers working on this test that can be turned around in 45 minutes, where the test can be taken, and you can find out really quick whether you're positive or negative for the virus. I think that's our best hope of continuing to do games, right? Like if you can test the entire league, if you can test the team staff, and then you can have those teams play each other, I think that's where we can go. No fans, obviously, because you can't test 50,000 people as they're walking into a building. But I guess it's feasible if you can get a quick turnaround with a test that you can test the entire league.
You know, Jeff Passan brought this up. Unless the disease, the virus, is totally eradicated, which we're a while away from hoping that happens, what happens if you start play and a player on a team tests positive? Does the whole sport shut down again? Does that team shut down again? You can't just dismiss that as a possibility.
Well, I know, but then there's another stage to it as well. Again, I'm just trying to grasp at straws here, but I want to try to be positive, because you could look at the negative way and say, well, what's going to happen when we get back to the fall next year again, when it's flu season again and this thing may come back? You know, then we may never get anything back again. So you want to try to think more on the positive side. The other thing is with the experimentation of treating the illness. And if we can get a drug where it can alleviate the symptoms, where people don't die from it, then we get it to where it's like every other flu, where, you know, listen, people don't get vaccinated. Even when they get vaccinated, they still get the flu, but it's manageable. Just trying to get it manageable. Eradication, Michael, I don't know if that's ever going to be on the table. We've never eradicated the flu. We find a vaccine for it, but people still get sick from it. People still die from it.
Yeah, but there are different strains of the flu. You can actually eradicate COVID-19 if they're able to isolate it and come up with an antidote.
Right, but you can still manage it. What if we can get to a point where it can be managed, where people are no longer dying from it, that you can control the symptoms, that you can get to a point before a vaccine where you can manage it? You can test for it quickly. You can treat the symptoms better.
where people aren't going to the hospital, where people aren't dying from it. I mean, those are the things you have to hope for rather than eradicate. Yeah, eradicating the spread, but making sure that when people get it, that it's not going to be as nearly as bad as it's been for some of the people that we're seeing that are contracting the virus.
And also, on a more serious note, Peter, you've got to consider the Flintstones theme song as one of the best.
Wow. You know, it's an interesting thought.
And what about the Jetsons?
Yeah,
the Jetsons is outstanding.
Meet George Jetson.
Da-na-na-na.
I mean, his Happy boy, Days, Elroy. Obviously.
I mean, then you think Jetsons, I start thinking Simpsons too.
Laverne and Shirley.
That's right. Happy Days.
Oh my God.
That's got to be the one.
Sunday Monday. I mean, that's up there. Happy Days is. Fresh Prince of Bel Air. People feel very strongly about too.
And hopefully,
and Happy Days' initial theme song before they wrote Happy Days was Rock Around the Clock.
Right. And then they went the way of Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck just went to a room and never came back. For those that don't know, Chuck was the brother of Richie Cunningham, and that was in the pilot, which was on Love American Style.
Yes.
And then Chuck just went away. They never explained him.
That's right. Technically, Happy Days is a spinoff.
Someone suggested Married with Children, but of course, that's not fair.
Why? That's right.
Because it's a Frank Sinatra song. But do you think of Frank when you hear Love and Marriage?
No, nope, you think Married with Children.
Married with Children.
How about Welcome Back, Cotter?
Yep, that's a pretty solid one, too.
Love and Spoonful, right?
No, John what Sebastian.
John Sebastian, who was in Loving Spoonful. And hopefully Jalen can write a song, because hopefully we'll get the chance to play that.
Nothing makes our age difference feel more dramatic than when you say things like knowing the members of Love and Spoonful by name.
I don't think it's that much of a stretch for a music guy.
No. The members of Love and Spoonful, that is a generational difference.
All I could do is give you the one member. I couldn't give you anybody else. Make that a drop, by the way.
According to Jeff Passan, the MLB union is weighing potential variables of how to restart a season. We talked to Jeff earlier about it, but they said they're grappling with several key issues related to this delayed season, and it could come to a head over the next few days. But they have been working towards an agreement, acknowledging now the inevitability of a shortened season that they hope would begin by early June. And guarantee players a prorated salary that would depend on the number of total games played, according to sources. Multiple players told ESPN they're willing to play a significant number of doubleheaders, as many as two a week. They might as well have said players acknowledge that they're willing to do absolutely anything to get their full salary, which I understand.
I think it's a bad idea. I really do. I think it's an awful idea. If they compress the season like that, They're gonna have to have a 30-man roster.
And by the way,
more pitchers.
It won't end up being fair to the teams.
Four games in 2 days. You can't do it in a week.
And also, it's not really fair to the fans or the teams, because the fans aren't going to be able to support those games. It's not as if the revenue ends up all being equal because you play the games. It won't be. Fans aren't coming. They're not selling out two doubleheaders a week. It's not happening. You still end up not making the same money. In fact, TV ratings are down too.
You'll give the regional sports networks.
Yeah, but we know those numbers aren't as good. A 12 o'clock.
No, they're not. But you're still going to have to pay the team.
Well, what about what?
So 30% of a team's revenue in baseball comes from attendance. The other 70%, most of it comes from television. So if you can give the regional sports networks that pay you the rights fee close to 162 games, your loss is going to be a lot less.
What about his idea where you just find neutral sites in Arizona or in states that
get the all-clear?
Yeah, the
training sites, since you're not going to use crowds anyway.
Right, and then the games could all be televised, and then all the games could be on radio, and that's what you do. I mean, if people aren't going to go anyway, where does it matter? If it's in Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, or if it's somewhere in Arizona, and they're playing in Scottsdale, you're not going to have fans anyway. Who cares? Games will be on. People will be able to bet, and people will be able to cheer for their teams, and their fantasy leagues and their rotisserie leagues are all still going. That seems like it could be an option.
Was the Cheers theme written for Cheers?
Yes.
You sure?
Was the Cops theme Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? That was not for Cops, right?
Do you know how sad the theme is to Cheers if you listen to the whole song? It gets horrifying as the
story
song goes
of Norm.
On. As it goes on, it gets horrifying and dark. I have the 45. It's a real song. That's why I asked if it was written for Cheers.
Right.
I got to ask you a question about your jukebox.
Sure, go ahead.
So you sent out a tweet the other day where you played a record.
Yeah, it was Stevie Wonder's cover, yeah.
Right. It sounds like it's got booming volume.
Yeah.
So what do the people under you in the apartment think? Do you ever get complaints?
No, I've never gotten a complaint. The walls are pretty thick in this place. But, like, I don't go blasting it constantly. It's not on all the time. When I DJ in this room that I'm in right now, it's actually probably louder than the jukebox. But, yeah, it's an old building, and these walls are pretty thick. But the jukebox does boom pretty loud, and you would think below. I can definitely hear it from inside my apartment at the end of the hallway. But no one's ever said anything. Nor do they mention the constant bubon smoke that's coming from my door.
Wait a minute.
The loud parties.
That's just from Bear.
NFL teams have been told to shut down their facilities beginning on Wednesday. Roger Goodell sent out a memo outlining the guidelines that are meant to ensure that all clubs operate at an even playing field. And quote, while the NFL continues to conduct itself in a responsible way at this time, there will be several directives that will take place starting today, about 25 minutes ago at 6 o'clock. But local, the facilities being closed mm-hmm. is a major piece of that.
I don't know if you saw this. The NHL has postponed their scouting combine, the award ceremony in Vegas, the draft. So basically all of their June events. Now, you could look at that as a negative, or you could look at it as, well, maybe they think they're going to be playing games in June, so you can't have these events. But that's what we're looking at now, is that they've just postponed all of their June events.
Without any further ado, we have to take a look
at our
Drop Madness scores. We will start out in the Michael region. The number one seed has been eliminated.
Wow.
Oh, no.
So early.
Tayshaun Hall.
The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall.
Thank goodness it's out.
A 64-36 loser to the upstart eight, Charlie K's I Hate Everybody Except My Family.
I Hate Everybody Except My Family.
Charlie.
Michael playing Charlie.
Charlie moves on. In the Peter region, it was a little closer than you might have expected, but the one seed advances 60-40.
I'm key.
Gets the win over Gill.
Please don't hang up. Please listen.
We go to the Don region. A lot of people feared very early on that the 8 seed could get a win. Of course, the 8 seed is...
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
But no, the 1 seed, a 57-43 winner for Eric Weddle.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
And so fitting, the one I'll do next. Take the L has sent Edith packing, the 1 seed.
Just take the L.
A 56-44 winner over Edith.
No!
That's right. And you know what Edith, you know what Edith had to say about it?
No.
No.
But you know what Andrew said back?
Just take the L.
And you know what Edith said?
No.
You could do that all day.
Just take the L.
So that is it. That is today's start to second round action in Drop Madness. However, it's not all the great audio we have today, because I was told that earlier today, Jalen LaGreca performed a concert. And if you're wondering what it sounded like when Don's toddler daughter gave a concert, it sounded like this. Oh, wow. Some would say a better performance than Don had at the Christmas party 2 years ago.
it is so strange. Michael could probably tell you the things that they gravitate to. My phone now is Daddy, We Will Rock You. He is obsessed with the Queen video for We Will Rock You, which is Repug. If you ever go see it,
it's a horrifying video.
It's just them like on a stage in somebody's backyard, and it's awful. The only cool thing about it for me is one of them is wearing a Blackhawk jacket. But the point is that it's not great. It's a great song. It's an iconic song and not a great video. That's all Marco wants to see, and because Marco plays it all the time, Jalen now hears it. So it's We Will Rock You all the time in the house.
That wasn't the only great performance, though, from one of the show members' household, as Callie Kay showing her chops as a broadcaster as her brother hits an a home run.
Welcome back to Yankee Stadium after 2.5 innings. No score. Leading off for the Yankees in the bottom of the third inning is Charlie Kay, and here for the play-by-play is Callie Kay.
Thanks, Daddy. Here's the pitch. Swing on, deep to right. There it goes. See ya. Home run, Charlie Kay.
Beautiful call.
She got such a great compliment on Twitter, Don, from Kenny Albert. Kenny Albert, one of the dynastic Alberts.
Yeah, what'd he say?
Said that was some job by Callie.
Well said, by the way. She was tremendous. I love how she starts off with, thanks, Daddy.
Yeah.
She knew how to take the call.
The person was throwing to you.
Now, touching moment here, RJ, if you could play the music. Ballard texted me.
Oh.
Ballard!
Boy, Ballard with nothing to do is dangerous.
Let me just tell you how important what you guys do is right now. Given all the stuff happening, I know I speak for so many. The smiles and the escape you provide is so important. It's vital, dude. I love you guys. Parentheses. Even Michael.
How does that make you feel, Michael?
I won't accept that.
You won't accept it?
No,
you're denying the compliment?
No. The compliment is on point, but he doesn't love me. I have another theme show song.
What's that?
Theme song show. Theme show song. Love Boat.
Love Boat's good. Love Boat's very good. Mary Tyler Moore is personally my favorite. Come on, because who can turn the world on a smile?
Yeah.
Who can make it nothing day and suddenly make it all seem
You know what else is another great theme song? Dallas. When that you heard those first couple of bars.
It's very good.
You know what?
RJ's on point today.
Let's just say this, though. Every one of these TV themes that I love, Don, I'd give them all away for 30 seconds of Power of Love by Huey Lewis.
Because you love that movie so much.
I know it's movie versus TV, but I'll tell you what show you're never going to hear the theme song on to any of these lists. The Michael Kay Show.
Well, Shining Wizards Kevin comes up with a couple. Different Strokes, very good one.
Very good.
Yeah, very good.
The Monkees, great.
Yes.
Sanford and Son.
Yes, huge.
Benny Hill.
Oof. Yeah.
And WKRP in Cincinnati.
Great stories told in that, too.
Living on the air in Cincinnati.
How about Barney Miller?
WKRP. Yeah.
Oh, my wife just chimed in with a great one. You ready?
Here we go. Yes.
Beverly Hillbillies. Explain the whole backstory of the show.
Black Gold. Texas Tea.
Texas Tea. First thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there.
Did anyone say Gilligan's Island?
No.
Well, here's the problem I have with Gilligan's Island. All right? They write a song for the show.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. They couldn't fit in Gilligan's Island. Here on Gilligan's Isle.
It drives you nuts.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.